we saw that there is a maximal torus, so we fix a maximal torus. And this maximal torus, we are thinking of over algebraically closed field. This T doesn't have to be defined over, T in general, T is not so maximal torus means that T is isomorphic to GL1 to the some power. But in general, this isomorphism, so it will be defined by polynomial with coefficients in this field omega. And in general, this isomorphism is not defined by polynomial with coefficients in F. And if this isomorphism is defined by polynomial with coefficients in F, then we call T split over F. Then we'll call G to be the split group. Okay? So that's we are going to only study only split groups this course. So anyway, so for the time being, we'll do everything over algebraically closed field, omega. And so let me remind, so for G, we defined, so let's restrict ourselves to a semi-simple group, semi-simple. Then we defined the group of characters, and we define the group of co-characters, the group of characters, the co-characters, and also we define the roots, and we define the co-roots. Okay, so it's a subset, finite subset. And so let me write down the properties of root system. So the triple X phi W is a root system. If satisfy the following properties. If X is a free module of rank L, and the phi is a finite subset of X, and W is a finite automorphism group of X such that, so there are several properties, and if alpha belongs to phi, then minus alpha belongs to phi, and second, if alpha belongs to phi and C alpha belongs to phi for C in Q, then C is plus minus 1. And 3, to each alpha, they exist, they correspond W alpha W, such that W alpha chi is chi minus alpha check chi alpha. And W alpha preserves root system. And fourth, XQ, this is X tensor Q, is generated by phi as a vector space over Q. And the fifth, W is generated by W alpha. Okay, so this is a root system. And so this is for semi-simple groups. If G is reductive, if you have a G as a center like GLN, then you have to replace X not by the group of characters, but by, you have to take a group of characters, you divide by the center. The S is the connected component of the center if G is reductive. Then you have to replace, you have to make some adjustment, but we don't have to worry about that right now. Okay, so now next we'll do is, now I will introduce the concept of simple roots. So simple roots will be basically, it will be basically basis. Simple roots will play a role of the basis of this vector space. So phi is not, in general, elements are not linearly independent. So we have to define the linear independent set. So they will be called simple roots. So in order to define simple roots, we have to first define the positive roots. So in order to define positive roots, then we have to introduce linear ordering. Which one is positive, which one is negative. So the way you do it, there are several ways to do it. The way you do it is use so-called positive Weyl chamber. So let me introduce. So for each alpha, so alpha is, you can think of as a vector in a vector space. So let H alpha to be the hyperplane. So this will be the set of X such that alpha chi is zero. So remember we introduced the Weyl group invariant metric, positive definite linear form, bilinear form. Okay, so it's like a two-dimensional vector space. So you have, this is alpha. So we are going to take this line. So this will be H alpha. It's H alpha. Okay. So this is a hyperplane. Corresponding to alpha. Then the space XR minus alpha phi H alpha. So XR minus the union of these hyperplanes will be a finite union. The finite union of a disjoint connected components. And such components is called, such a component is called a Weyl chamber. A Weyl chamber. And so we fix each chamber, then that will determine the linear ordering on X. So to each Weyl chamber, so let's denote by C naught, and it's associated, we associated a linear order. Order in X. Namely, you define a root is positive if alpha chi is positive for all chi in C naught. So that will be our linear ordering. Yeah, comma, yeah. This is comma, yeah. Comma, sorry, yeah, comma. So, for example, okay, so let me give an example. So, example is, I think I gave an example of SP4, the roots. roots was E1 plus minus E2 plus minus 2E1 plus minus 2E2. So that was the roots. And so you can draw a diagram because it's a two-dimensional vector space. So you can draw the diagram. So you can draw a diagram. Let's say you have E1, E2. So we have a E1 minus E2 and E1 minus E2 is, so this will be E1 minus E2. And here is 2E2. Okay, and we'll have E1 plus E2. So we'll have this, there will be 8 chambers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So there will be 8 disconnected components. And so if you take this one, if you take, we take this chamber, if you take this chamber, and if you fix this chamber, then according to this chamber, then the positive roots are exactly without, so this will be exactly positive roots. This positive root corresponds to this chamber. So we'll take positive roots. So you can actually calculate explicitly. And in this case, this inner product is just the standard inner product. Standard inner product in this Euclidean space, R2. Okay. So that gives us a definition of a positive roots. So we'll take, in my notes, I use the law script. So pi plus is the set of positive roots. And now, once you define positive roots, now we can define a simple roots. So that's the definition. A positive roots, alpha is simple, is said to be simple if alpha cannot be written in the form beta plus gamma. Here, beta, gamma, pi plus. So simple roots is basically simple positive roots, which cannot be written as a sum of two positive roots. And so we denote the set of all simple roots. Of phi by, usually we denote by delta. And this delta are usually called the fundamental system. Fundamental system. And so this delta are basically the basis, what we are looking for. So let me write down basic properties of this fundamental system. So this is a proposition. The basic properties of simple roots. Basic properties of this delta. Okay? So I mean the proof of this, you probably you'll have to look at the Sayers book or any Lie algebra book you'll probably find. So first, the fundamental system consists of L linearly independent roots alpha 1 alpha L. So the simple roots are linearly independent. And furthermore, every root alpha can be written uniquely so linearly independent. There are L linearly independent roots, and X is rank L. That means it's a basis. So this means this is a basis. So actually, alpha 1, alpha L form a basis. Basis for X Q as a vector space, because it's linearly independent and also it generates. Okay? And furthermore, can be uniquely written in the form alpha can be written as the sum, the integer combinations, I equal 1 through L plus minus. Here, MI is Z plus. So if you look at the positive roots, any positive roots can be written as a integer combination with the same sign. It's a non-negative. And negative roots will be written as a minus, also all same sign. Okay? So that's the, I think, very important property of simple roots. And second, W, the vowel group is generated now by W alpha I. Alpha I is in delta. So remember that the vowel group is generated by the fundamental reflection, all roots. Now you just have to take the simple roots. And third, every root can be written in the form. So basically, the alpha is the image of alpha can be get transformed from by vowel group elements. Alpha I 0. Here alpha I 0 is delta and alpha I 1. Alpha I are all delta. So any roots can be transformed from the simple roots. Any roots is a simple roots image of that vowel group transformation. And this is no longer true if you go to a Ketsumidi group, it's infinite dimensional groups. So this is true only for algebraic groups, finite dimensional algebraic groups. And the fourth, Wx simply transitively. On the set of vowel chambers. Okay, so number of vowel chambers is same as number of the cardinality of the vowel group. So cardinality vowel group will be 8 in this case, SP4 case. So basically what that means is that there is a one-to-one correspondence. So there is a one-to-one correspondence between the fundamental system of phi and vowel chambers. So if you choose different vowel chamber, then positive roots will be different. I mean, you get different set of fundamental system. And the choice of, later we'll see that, the choice of this vowel chamber is same as the choice of Borel subgroup. Basically, it's the same as choosing different Borel subgroup. Okay, now lemma. Okay, so lemma is that if alpha, beta are two non-proportional, non-proportional roots, then alpha, beta, and alpha beta is positive, then alpha minus beta is a root. Okay? So we can prove this quite easily from the properties of roots. So remember we defined the Katang integer. So this was by definition, this is alpha, alpha. This is a Katang integer. And this belongs to Z. Okay. So now let's see, let's think about what's the value of this Katang integers. Okay. So we use the Cauchy-Schwarz inequality. So Cauchy-Schwarz inequality is that alpha, beta, so this is a symmetric, so we get square, is less than alpha, alpha, beta, beta. So this is less than, because this equality holds, so this equality holds only when alpha is C times beta, alpha and beta proportional. So we assume that it's non-proportional. So we have a strict inequality. Strict inequality. So if you divide by that, so you get alpha, beta, alpha, alpha, beta, beta, alpha, beta, 2 times 2. So it's less than 4. And so this is C alpha beta, and this is C beta alpha, is less than 4. And now these are integers. And this is a positive. And this is positive, non-negative. So this is non-negative. And these are positive. Okay? So that means that since these are integers, one of them has to be always 1. 1 or negative 1. So hence, if alpha, beta is positive, then the one of them is always 1. So then C alpha, beta, or C beta, alpha is 1. So if C beta, alpha is 1, so the other case you can do it same way. So this can be the 1, 2, 3. So product is 1, 2, 3. So one of them has to be 1, always 1. Okay, so in this case, alpha minus beta is alpha minus C beta alpha times beta. And if you look at what this is, if you go back to this one, this formula here, remember that alpha check chi was, so this is exactly W alpha, W beta alpha. So this is precisely the image transformation of alpha by W beta. And by our assumption, this belongs to phi. It's a root. This is a root. Okay. So the corollary of that, is alpha I beta j, alpha j. Alpha j. So remember that we are two things are fundamental system. And the corollary is that this has to be always, this is always non-negative. And furthermore, we already know, so furthermore, this can only take a value 0, minus 1, minus 2, minus 3. You can only, because these are non-proportional, so according to our Cauchy-Schwarz inequality, this can take only these values. Okay. So now let me give one more definition and then we can introduce a thinking diagram. So this root system is irreducible, it's called reducible. It's called reducible if C is the union of two root systems, where phi 1 and phi 2 are two non-empty subsystems of phi, and phi 1 and phi 2 are orthogonal. So orthogonal means that any two inner product of phi 1 and phi 2 are zero. So in that case, we call reducible. And the phi is irreducible if phi is not reducible. Okay. So basically, we are going to attach this irreducible root system. We'll attach so-called thinking diagram. So, given an irreducible root system, irreducible fundamental system, so delta alpha 1 alpha L, we call the matrix C alpha I alpha j. So these are the integer. We define the Kartang integers. So we can define L by L matrix. So this will be L by L matrix. L by L matrix with integer coefficients, integer value. We call this a Kartang matrix. And this Kartang matrix basically determines this fundamental system. And we can attach a thinking diagram. We can attach a thinking diagram. Of delta. So this is how you attach a thinking diagram. So to each vertex, to each vector alpha I, associate a vertex and connect vertices corresponding to alpha I and alpha j with a single, double, or triple lines according to whether C alpha I alpha j is minus 1, minus 2, minus 3. So if it is minus 1, you draw a single line. Minus 2, you get double. And minus 3, only triple. And the arrows point from longer to a shorter vector. When the lengths are different. Okay, so you can classify irreducible root system according to this graph theory. Basically, you just classify how many graphs, such graphs exist. And the following is the list of irreducible thinking diagram. So this is, let me just write. And then I'm not going to repeat again. So the following is the list of thinking diagrams. Of irreducible fundamental systems. So AL, so we denote by AL. So AL is the thinking diagram is, this is a thinking diagram. So there are L vertices. And so this corresponds to SL L plus 1. So this is an algebraic group. So these are all same length. So the thinking that Kartang matrix will be 2. So it will be 2. And this connected, that means that it's minus 1. And let me write one more. It's 2. And these two are not connected. So that means that this is 0. Kartang integer is 0. So you get 0. And these two are connected. So you get minus 1. So this will be this kind of matrix. So only diagonal is 2, off diagonal is -1, and rest is 0. So that's the Kartang matrix. And now next one is BL. So this one, this is the shorter route. So the arrow will point this way. So this is the corresponding algebraic group is the odd orthogonal group. And the CL exactly the same, but except the arrow is reversed. So it will be, this is the algebraic group is SP2L. So in our case, so that SP4 is C2, it corresponding to C2. So in our case, E1 minus E2, 2E2. So this will be our simple roots. So this is a simple root, and this is length 2, and this is length 4. So this is longer. So it will be, a fundamental system will be going this way. Okay. And a DL. So this is a DL, and this, the typical algebraic group is even orthogonal group. And the EL, so these are the exceptional groups, so 6, 7, 8. So this is so you just fill up the numbers according to 6, 7, 8. And F4 is these are the longer, these two are longer roots, and these are short shallow roots, and one more, G2. G2 is the, so G2 has the, is the only diagram which has a triple line. Okay, so these are the root system, and this has been around since 19th century, end of the 19th century, and they, I think basically this, they proved, I think Li and probably Katang, they will probably know all this. So that basically what they knew was that there is a one-tone correspondence. Between irreducible root system, and a simple Lie algebra. So given irreducible root system, you get a simple Lie algebra. And I mean, this group has been around, a complex as a Lie group has been around a long time before Chevalier. Contribution was that he observed that all that group can be defined over arbitrary field, especially over Q, for example, over the prime field. Okay? So it can be defined. It can be defined as an algebraic group, as defined by polynomial. So that's the Chevalier's contribution. Okay? So to each root system, Chevalier constructed algebraic group. So now we call Chevalier group. So let me now give a construction of a Chevalier group. So there are two theorems of Chevalier. So the first one is, so this is the isogeny theorem. And there are two theorems. One is isogeny theorem, and the other one is the existence theorem of Chevalier. Okay, so let me state the first isogeny theorem. So, given a root system, X and phi. So let me, I will skip diagram for the moment. Okay. So we have a X. I erased the X. But anyway, so X and phi, they exist. Okay. Not isogeny theorem. I combined into two, combined one. So let me just call it the fundamental theorem. Fundamental theorem. There are two parts, but I just combined to one theorem. So I don't have to simplify. So given a root system, they exist connected, semi-simple. So here we are not assuming that this root system is irreducible. So if it is not irreducible, it will be, in general, semi-simple. Semi-simple algebraic group defined over K-naught. So K-naught is the prime field. So prime field having X phi as its root system. With respect to some maximal torus T which is K naught split. Which is K naught split. So what K naught split means that T is isomorphic to GL1 to the Lth power is isomorphic, and this isomorphism is given by polynomials with coefficients in the prime field. So that's what the K naught split means. Okay, so this is the fundamental theorem. So to each the thinking diagram, you can construct a simple, so if it is irreducible, it will be a simple algebraic group. So we call this a group. So we call that group we denote, okay, so we denote that group by GX phi. GX phi. And we call this kind of group Chevalier group, but these days, usually Chevalier group means we want to include reductive groups. So you want to include GLN. Sometimes we call GLN type of group, we call Chevalier group. So these are just semi-simple group, but we extend a little bit. And having non-trivial center, we call Chevalier groups. So we call this Chevalier groups. Oh yeah, everything is characteristic. Yes, or split. Or split groups. So these are the split groups. That's right, that's the... What? So I'm going to go to... For different X, we have a different simply connected... That's what I'm going to do. So anyway, the point is that this a complex Lie group has to be known attached to this thinking diagram. So as I said, Chevalier construction or contribution is that he observed that all that group can be defined by polynomial, so as an algebraic group. So that's the Chevalier's construction contribution, and I'm gonna give the construction in a minute. How he constructed. Okay, so now you can vary x. In the following way. So let X phi be a root system. Then let's denote X naught by the submodule of X, which is generated by delta. So this is submodule. So this means that basically N1 alpha 1 and L alpha L and I are integers. So this is clearly a submodule. This is a submodule of X. So this is submodule of X with a finite index. Okay. So we call this, it's called root module of phi. And X naught, this is so this is phi check z to the hat. So this is kind of complicated. So this is the set of XQ such that alpha check chi is belongs to z for all alpha check in phi check. So this contains x and it's also finite index. We call this the weight module. Okay, so we have this this inclusions is all finite index. And I forgot to mention, I didn't mention the another Chevalier theorem. So another Chevalier theorem is called the isogeny theorem. The isogeny theorem says that there is a, so there will be a group attached to this free module, for this free module, and then the another isogeny theorem, theorem of Chevalier, is that there is an isogeny. So they exist isogeny G X phi G X phi G X naught phi. And the center of G X naught phi is isomorphic to X naught mod X naught. So this is a finite. Okay. And so this is the biggest. This is the biggest one, so we call this simply connected. So G X naught C is called a simply connected group. Connected group of type C, and the G X naught C is called the adjoint group. Group of type phi now, type phi. And this another characterization of adjoint group is that the center is trivial. So this is center. Center is trivial. That's another characterization of adjoint group. Okay. So our mainly concentrate on the simply connected group of type phi. So for each thinking diagram, there is a unique, simply connected group. So that's what I'll be interested in. Okay, so now, okay, I have enough time. So now let me briefly explain the Chevalier's construction of the simply connected, so Chevalier's construction of the simply connected group. Of simply connected. So in order to do that, we'll use Lie algebra and its exponential map. Okay. So let G, so I use the German letter G, so this is a semi-simple Lie algebra determined by phi. So given a root system, now we have a Lie algebra given, and you can decompose G naught, decompose as according to a root system G alpha. Here the dimension of G alpha is 1 for each phi. Okay, so now let delta, so now we fix a simple root fundamental system. So this is a simple root. So let be a simple root. So here the L will be the dimension of this G naught. Okay, dimension of G naught. And And for each root, alpha, let H alpha prime G naught such that H alpha prime is alpha H for all H in G naught. And we define H alpha to be alpha alpha H alpha prime. So we write HI for H alpha I. So what we did was we basically found the canonical element in the torus. Basically this will be the Lie algebra of the torus. So we found the very canonical element, the canonical L elements. So the theorem due to Chevalier, so he constructed canonical basis, we call a Chevalier basis. So this is the existence of a Chevalier basis. So what Chevalier did was, we can find the canonical basis such that it satisfies various properties. So the given, the HI, so I equals 1 through L, chosen above, so one can find E alpha in G alpha. So remember that G alpha is a one-dimensional space, so you can choose one, so which is not a zero element, for each alpha and phi, such that HI, E alpha, together form a basis. For G, and it satisfies the following properties. So A, HI, HJ is 0, and B, HI, E alpha is C, alpha I, alpha, E alpha, and C, E alpha, E minus alpha, is H alpha. So this will be the integral combination of HIs. And D, E alpha, E beta is plus minus R plus 1, E alpha plus beta, if alpha plus beta is a root, where beta minus R alpha is a root, and beta minus R plus 1 alpha is not a root. And the last one, E alpha, E beta is 0 if alpha plus beta is not 0 and alpha plus beta is not a root. Okay, so this is a Chevalier basis. So this determining the sign is very tricky, okay? But you can determine the sign explicitly when R is zero. So R is zero, that's the case where you don't have a double or triple lines. So we call that a simply raised root system. So when R equals zero, so that's especially simple. The phi is called simply raised root system. So this is when all roots have have the same length. So all roots have the same length. That's the type ADE. So that's type. So this is type ADE. Okay. So these are the root system we will be mainly interested in. We are mainly interested in root system of type D and type E. So for our purpose, we can restrict ourselves to this case. Okay. So in this case, it is particularly simple that we can determine the sign very easily. So in this case, so we can determine the sign. If the sign is plus minus easily. So this is the sign. So let me denote E alpha, E beta, S alpha beta, E alpha plus beta. So this is a plus minus one. So this will be, S alpha beta will be exactly minus one to the B alpha beta, where B plus B transpose, this is exactly A. A is the Gartung matrix. This is a Gartung matrix. So you write Gartung matrix as a upper triangular matrix and lower triangular matrix because this is a symmetry. Because these are all same length, this is a symmetric matrix. So you can write as a upper triangular matrix and lower triangular matrix. So this will be upper triangular matrix. So in terms of a bilinear form, so B alpha I alpha j will be one half of alpha I alpha j if I equal j and zero if I greater than j and alpha I alpha j if I is less than j. So B is the integral bilinear form. Integer value bilinear form, and alpha beta is basically B alpha beta plus B beta alpha. So this is a bilinear form. So that's exactly the value we are going to put there. So S alpha beta, the sign is precisely that. Okay. So in that case, we can do very easily. Okay, so the theorem of Chevalier is that from that Chevalier basis, we can define the group. The group, the simply connected group of type phi is the group generated by these elements, E alpha T. So E alpha T is the exponential map T E alpha. So the exponential map, remember that the exponential map, exponential of matrix is exactly 1 plus A squared over 2 factorial plus da da. Okay, so that's the, and since the E alpha is nilpotent, this is actually a finite sum. So this is actually a finite sum. It's a finite sum. So this is well defined. And so this is the L by L matrix. And basically this will be the matrix group. It's subgroup of L by L matrix. Okay, so we are going to do all the calculations using that relationship. So, how much? Okay, we have still. So let U. So U will be the subgroup. Of G generated by E alpha T, where alpha belongs to the positives. So that will be the unipotent radical. So in GLN case, that will be the upper triangular matrix with the one on the diagonal. Okay? And W alpha T will be E alpha T, E minus alpha, minus T inverse, E alpha T, and the H alpha T will be W alpha T, W alpha 1 inverse. And that one is exactly, it will be the chorus. So it will be exactly the chorus, alpha check T. So that will be the exactly the chorus. And the T, let T be the subgroup. Subgroup of G generated by all H alpha T. Okay. So this will be the maximal torus. And let B be the group generated by T and U. So this B will be basically the semi-direct product of T and U. So T intersection U will be the identity. I'm going to give you an example in a minute. Okay, so if you define this way, the theorem is that this B is a so-called Borel subgroup. So B is a Borel subgroup. So Borel subgroup, that is a general definition of Borel subgroup. So Borel subgroup is the maximal connected solvable subgroup. So Borel subgroup, definition of Borel subgroup is that Borel subgroup in the algebraic group is a maximal connected solvable subgroup. By Lee-Kolchin theorem, any Borel subgroup is basically the subgroup of the upper triangular matrix. That's the Lee-Kolchin theorem. And T is maximal torus. Okay, so let me give an example of simplest case. Simplest case is SL2. So if G is SL2, so in SL2 case, our root system is alpha and minus alpha. So this is a root system. Remember that SL2 is the set of 2x2 matrix such that trace is 0. So these are set of, so this is a three-dimensional vector space. Okay, so the E alpha, so in this case, E alpha is the canonical one. So you can decompose, you can find the Chevalier basis. E alpha will be 0, 1, 0, 0. E minus alpha is 0, 0, 1, 0. And H alpha is 1 minus 1, 0, 0. So this will be H alpha. So E alpha T, the exponential map will be basically 1t01, and E minus alpha T is 1t, And H alpha T will be T, T inverse 0, 0. So that will be H alpha. So that's exactly the torus element. Okay, so I think I can do example. So basically we are going to use these notations a lot in the future, and this chorus, this notation. Okay. And another proposition is that if alpha is a root, then there exists a homomorphism. There is a homomorphism phi alpha from SL2 to G such that phi alpha 1T 0 1 is E alpha T, phi alpha T 0 0 T inverse, this is H alpha T, and the phi alpha 0, 1, minus 1, 0. This is W alpha 1. So, I mean, this is a very believable. So, this is the Baal group elements in SL2. And so, that's the W alpha will be the simple reflection with respect to alpha. Okay. So, we are going to use this. We can use this homomorphism to transfer all the calculation on G to SL2. So basically, the way we are going to do is that we are going to, sometimes many, we can break down the calculation on G into breakdown into product of several SL2s. And we calculate everything on SL2 and translate back. Especially SL2, we have very simple. Yeah, only G, we are only going to deal with Chevalier groups. Yeah. So G is a Chevalier group. Yes, what? If it is simply connected, there will be injection. If it's not simply connected, then you will have kernel plus minus one. Okay, so, and in this kind of group, we have a Gartang decomposition is very simple. So let K be a periodic field, and O be the ring of integers. So today, this morning, Jim talked about the maximal compact subgroup. So we can, so this is one of its generalization of that. So let K be the subgroup generated by E alpha T. T is in O. So then K is the maximal compact. Maximal compact subgroup of G. And sometimes we denote K by G O. It's basically the set of integer points of G. Sometimes we denote use this notation. And we have this decomposition K times B. We have this decomposition. G can be written as a K times B. The intersection is not trivial. I mean, it's not one. You have intersection, but this is useful. All right. So now let me just finish with a very explicit calculation of some example, and then I'll finish today. Okay. So let me give you how to calculate a center and parabolic subgroups. let me give explicit. Let me just show you calculation. So the any element in the torus, any element in maximal torus can be written uniquely. So G is now simply connected. So it's a simply connected pi. Then any element can be written as a product of HI. So HI, I equal 1 through L, TI. Here TI is in K, a non-zero element. So let's say we are doing it G. G over defined over K. Okay. So now what is the center? So we have to calculate the center of the group. So what is the center? So center is if you calculate it according to this relationship, you can see that the center is given by HI TI such that TI beta J alpha I is 1 for all beta J in delta. So this is the center. So let me calculate explicitly in the case of spin group. So let's say spin 2n. So this is the simply connected group. Type Dn. I mean, you don't have to know what the spin group is. This is the simply connected group of type Dn. Okay. So what is the, so I want to calculate the center. So the simple, the fundamental system is E1 minus E2, E2 minus E3, En minus 1 minus En, En minus 1 plus En. So let me label it as alpha 1, alpha 2, alpha n minus 1, alpha n. Okay, so if you calculate explicitly according to this formula, G, so the center is, so we have, so you can define, this inner product is basically the standard inner product of this Euclidean space, so you can very easy to calculate. Okay. So if you calculate it, then you have two cases. Either n is even, n is odd, it's different. So if n is even, you have a n minus 2 h alpha I minus 1 to the I power h alpha I minus 1 minus t h alpha n t and h alpha I minus 1 t h alpha n t and t square equals 1. And n is odd, here where t to the fourth is 1, if n is odd. So so basically what that means is that the center structure of the center is different. If n is even, the center is zimod 2 times zimod 2, and n is odd, you get zimod 4z. So remember the Chevalier's isogeny theorem. So you have a xc. So given a root system, there are various isogeny groups in this. There are various isogeny groups. There is all isogeny groups are basically lie between simply connected group and adjoint group. Okay. So these are this isogeny type will correspond to the subgroup of the center. Okay. So in this case, and it's odd, there is only one subgroup. There is only one subgroup. And so there is only one group in between. So this, this is a spin group. And this is a adjoint group, so you divide by center. So normally we denote by PGSO2N. Usually you denote by PGSO2N. So this is the adjoint group. And the in between, there is a the one corresponding to the non-trivial subgroup, so that will be SO2N. That is in between. So that is the true for N is even and N is odd. Okay. But if N is even, there are three subgroups, non-trivial subgroups. So one of them corresponds to this. And there is the other two. The other two happen to be isomorphic. So they give only one other group, and that we call a half spin group. So there is another one. So let me denote by HS2N. So this is a half spin. So they call it half spin group. So that exists. So it exists only when N is even. So there is a non-isomorphic group different from SO even. So half spin group can exist in between spin and the adjoint group. All right. Okay, so I have 10 minutes. Okay. I think I can write down the parabolic subgroups. Okay, so. Anyway, the reason we do all this calculation is because the exact description of parabolic subgroups is very important in this business, because we have to know exact structure of the center and Levy subgroups, because that's very delicate sometimes in the automorphic representation. Automorphic representation of this one and this one are different. So, okay, so okay, I have some. So let me, without proof, now let me just write down the structure of a parabolic subgroups of these Chevalier groups. So, structure of parabolic of Chevalier groups. Okay, so that there is a general definition of parabolic subgroups. Okay, so let me just write down general definition. So a subgroup of G which contains a Borel subgroup is called a parabolic subgroup. Of G. Okay, so the proposition is that In the Chevalier group case, the description of parabolic subgroup is completely determined by roots, basically root system. You can describe. So there is a one-tone correspondence. Between Borel subgroups. Okay, so let me first write down the correspondence between the Borel subgroups and containing T, containing the maximal given maximal torus. So Chevalier group, we are talking about X and phi. Borel subgroups and the fundamental system. System delta. So what this proposition is, I think I mentioned earlier, the choice of fundamental system corresponds to the choice of Borel subgroup. So the choice, the correspondence is as follows. So you have a, whenever you choose a fundamental system, the Borel subgroup, we denote by B delta, so this will be defined by T times, you just the product over all, so let me denote U alpha, where U alpha is the subgroup generated by E alpha. Here, phi alpha, p plus is the set of positive roots. In phi, determined by I delta. Okay, all right. So what we are going to do next is that we are going to always fix the fundamental system. We are not going to vary the fundamental system. We are going to fix Borel subgroup. So then that will fix positive root system, positive roots. And then given positive roots, now we can determine the parabolic subgroups. So parabolic subgroups will correspond to the subset of this fundamental system. And so next time, so still I'm in chapter one. Okay, so next time I will describe a parabolic subgroup and give explicit concrete calculation of parabolic subgroups in the case of type E. So that's the case I'm going to use it later. So I'm going to calculate explicitly parabolic subgroups, and then I'll move on to chapter two, the cuspid representations and L groups. Okay, so I will stop here today.